Around this house, radio around this town. Victory on the battleground, we claim it now. Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. So glad you're here today. Y'all, it's Halloween. It's Tuesday, October 31st, and we're going to take a different direction in the breaking news today. So let's get to it. Not to take away any of the importance of the war going on in Israel. We know that is top of mind for so many of us. But there are other headlines right now that I think are very relevant to women and certainly to moms. And so I want to take just a slight departure from the war headlines, and let's look at what happened yesterday. We had 9 governors around the country that sent a letter to the NCAA basically demanding that they change their laws, that they change their regulations around women's sports. We are seeing so many great things in the news right now around women's sports. Some things not so great, but some really encouraging and inspiring things. So let's try to get a little bit of clarity around this today and build this discussion out with a special guest I have coming up. All right. So clarity. I think it's so important for us to first acknowledge Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She is bringing clarity to what a woman is by, she just signed an executive order that basically removed woke and an anti-women language out of all government verbiage. She basically said, like, for instance, if someone is, using language that says something that might be harmful for a pregnant person, she's demanding that say a pregnant woman. She is basically bringing that clarity back into the laws, and she is not going to entertain or condone or encourage all of this woke and very, very disrespectful to women language in these documents. So I love to see that. So she's bringing clarity. We're starting to see now people stepping up to bring clarity into the laws that surround women's sports. So like I said, 9 governors have actually sent a letter. They got together and they said, let's do this. Let me name off who the governors were. I actually have a list of them here. Really, just to be commended, they were Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. Of course, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I just mentioned, from Arkansas. Governor Tate Reeves from Mississippi. Mike Parson from Missouri. Governor Greg Gianforte, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, from Montana. Governor Joe Lombardo from Nevada. Governor Kevin Stitt from Oklahoma. Governor Greg Abbott from Texas. Governor Mark Gordon from Wyoming. And they all signed this letter to the NCAA committee on competitive safeguards and medical aspects of sports. So really happy to see that. You guys also might have seen that a lot of the women that are actually competing in these sports are starting to speak up and take center stage. Most of you know Riley Gaines has been at the forefront of that. She was competing against a transgender man back in 2020. It was the 200 freestyle finals in the NCAA swimming and diving championships. And she had tied Leah Thompson, who it's really a man going by that name, Leah Thomas, for 5th place in that competition. And basically what she had to do was take the 6th place position, and they gave the trophy to him. And a lot of you may have seen the interview, the podcast episode that I did with Riley. I would recommend that you go back and listen to that again if you haven't already here in the Lady Up America podcast. She and I met together. I've had the opportunity to get to know her. She is just an incredible woman. I have the utmost in respect for her. But she really explained on that podcast when we sat down together how it's not just, I don't think most people appreciate the effort that goes into what it takes to become a championship swimmer. She was saying things like, there was never going home for the holidays at Christmas time. There were so many sacrifices that she made. She was in the pool. She had to be extremely committed and dedicated to to her sport. When kids were going off for spring break, that she had to stay in practice. You know, she worked and worked and worked and worked for years, you know, to get to that championship. And then for it to be taken from her like that, over this social ridiculousness, really motivated her now and pushed her out into the forefront. She's been a leading voice in this women's sports controversy. And she's been really contagious for a lot of other women now who are finding the courage to stand up. And I love that. And, you know, she's taking a lot of incoming. Her life has been put in danger. And I asked her about that on the show. And she said that she stands strong, that she knows that God's got her. Her faith is what's keeping her rooted and keeping her strong. And she is not backing down. She is telling the truth and she is unapologetic about it. And I respect that so much from her. So we're starting to see, again, this rubbing off on a lot of other women, and they're starting to step up and they're starting to come forward. So we're going to talk about this today a little bit more in tea time in a minute, but I just want to acknowledge these governors really stepping up to the plate, putting pressure on these organizations, taking a stand for women, refusing the nonsense in the verbiage. And really, we're seeing these governors, these Christian governors, really starting to drive back this evil. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he's here to do. He's been on a killing spree in Israel. He went on that rampage there. We see it all, so much lawlessness and all that's going on even in our country, but certainly around the world right now. So much unrest, so much killing going on. He came to steal, to steal rightful place, rightful terminology, rightful trophies, so much stealing he's doing right now. And then to destroy, to destroy children's innocence, to destroy all the values and traditions that we hold dear in our country, to destroy common sense, to destroy families, to destroy friendships, all the division, all of that. This is like his playground right now. And we are the church. We are the ones that have to stand up to this. We have authority over this. And people like Riley, people like these governors, people like you and me, the ones in the mirror, we have to stand up and say, no, this is not how this is going to end. God's the ultimate judge and God's timing will come. His judgment will come. But in the meantime, we, you and me, we're the ones that have to stand up and drive this evil back. And God has given us the authority to do that. So we've got to take that place. We've got to take that place on our own platform as ambassadors of Jesus Christ and say, absolutely not, no matter what it costs you. All right, ladies, joining me for tea time today, I have the great privilege of introducing you to someone new. She's going to be joining us on the podcast ongoingly. She is my friend and a dear sister in Christ. Please welcome from the Independent Women's Network, she's the Nashville chapter leader, Michelle Parker. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Diane.
Welcome, welcome. Cheers to you, your first time on with us, and thank you for joining.
Cheers.
Oh, let's see what your cup says. So coercion is not consent. I love it.
Yes, yes. This is from the COVID era. Oh. It's a relic from the COVID era, so we never forget.
Never forget. Mm-hmm. That's right. I love it. Well, yes. You know, Michelle, we're going to take a little bit of a hiatus from talking about the war in Israel and the speaker. We've been covering that a lot just because it's been top of the news, but there are also some really important headlines going on right now that I wanted to invite you on to address. I think you're the perfect person to talk about this. We have so much going on in the realm of women's sports. We see more and more transgender males joining women's sports teams. And for moms out there who have kids in sports, this is really top of mind, you know, for them, whether they have younger children or adult children. I think it's important for us to maybe break this down a little bit. And with Independent Women's Network, can you share with them just a little bit briefly about what you guys are doing to address this in the country right now?
Absolutely. So Independent Women in general is an organization with the mission of supporting limited government, economic liberty, and personal responsibility. So at the end of the day, I mean, we are a conservative nonpartisan organization that fights for common sense policy that supports our freedoms. And, you know, one area that has been encroached on lately, especially as it relates to women and girls, is our privacy and our opportunity for thriving through trans-identified males entering into our spaces and entering into our sports. So one area that we're really working to preserve these freedoms is through enacting policy throughout the United States, which really identifies and clarifies the original meanings of the laws that were enacted by our states through defining sex-based terms. And we do that through a coalition with the Women's Liberation Front, which is actually a more leftist organization. So this is an issue where the left and right have really had the opportunity to come together in agreement. In some areas, not everybody on the left agrees with this, but there are radical feminists who agree with us. And the women's, it is the Women's Liberation Front, WOLF, and then our law center put together model legislation called the Women's Bill of Rights, which really defines those sex-based terms to preserve the original meaning of laws that were enacted in our state.
I mean, Michelle, isn't it sad that we have to define what a woman is? I mean, what have we come to as a society where that needs definition, clarity? But I do see where the left, I mean, feminists on the left certainly are being harmed. You know, their whole worldview has been shaken by this trans movement into women's sports too. So I can see where there would be common ground there. I'm not personally a feminist. Not in the radical form. I believe that women should have a voice and women should, you know, be able to pursue their passion and pursue their purpose, all of that. But I'm not for the feminism that really has hurt males, you know, hurt men in society too, where you should just get a seat at the table because you're a woman, you know, things like that. But I love that you guys have found common ground there. And you said the word common sense doesn't seem to be so common anymore.
That's so true. Yes. And it's interesting. We really come at it from different angles. And I've been at events with these radical feminists who, again, they have a different worldview than we have. I have the worldview of complementarianism, where I believe that males and females were created equally, with equal importance, but to fulfill different roles where they do not necessarily hold that worldview, but they do agree that women have equal importance.
Yeah.
And that's where we came together with this model legislation to really further that truth that everybody knows. I mean, that truth, as you and I both know, was written on our hearts by God. It's written on everybody's hearts. The natural law that is instilled in all of us that really I think the left tries to pervert through changing of language. And I mean, what the Women's Bill of Rights does is it stops that perversion of the language.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know it has a few key bullet points, but can you give us a few of what those are in the Women's Bill of Rights?
Sure. Here, let me pull it up so I have it right in front of me.
Sure.
So I'm not missing anything. But at the end of the day, so the Women's Bill of Rights can provide legal and linguistic clarity, and it clarifies the meaning of laws that prohibit sex discrimination and help preserve single-sex spaces that are important for privacy, safety, or equal opportunity. The key elements, and we'll actually provide a link to this in the show notes as well, so you can actually sign on to the Women's Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
But the Women's Bill of Rights, if you read it, it's very simple. Like the first bullet point is males and females possess unique, immutable biological differences that manifest prior to birth and increase as they age and experience puberty. So fact.
Yep.
Whereas biological differences between the sexes mean that only females are able to get pregnant, give birth, and breastfeed children. Mm-hmm. Fact.
Right.
Biological differences between the sexes mean that males are, on average, bigger, stronger, and faster than females. Fact. So it gives you – what it's really doing is it's outlining the differences between males and females that are a biological fact at the end of the day.
And this has been enacted by our legislators here in Tennessee. I was at that great event that you held at the Hermitage Hotel celebrating that. Mm-hmm. And a friend of our show, Dr. Carol Swain, was there. Another friend of our show, Riley Gaines, was there. And she, I believe, has been doing a great job as your spokesperson at the national level for your organization. So I want to talk about Riley here in just a minute, but let's go back because this is a nice compliment, I think, to the Parents' Bill of Rights. And we've seen, like when I was doing a tour last year to the battleground counties ahead of the midterms, this was top of mind for a lot of the legislators that were attending my events and all of that. We were talking about it a lot. And I think it's important for women that are listening today to understand the differences between those bills, but how they complement each other. So can you speak on that for just a sec?
Sure. So I'm not as well versed on the Parents' Bill of Rights, but from what I understand, I mean, that legislation, it really does define boundaries of what are a parent's responsibility versus how the state is trying to encroach on that responsibility. Through, you know, gender ideology being taught in the classroom, where the Women's Bill of Rights is really enshrining sex-based terms to protect women and girls as it relates to sex exclusivity in our sports and our safe spaces. I mean, similar, but really it's just defining common sense things that we all used to know. And we all still do know.
That is pretty accurate from what I understood about it too. And it's been enacted in a lot of states, that Parents' Bill of Rights. I know in North Carolina, they did a great job. I think they were among the first to pass it, in their assembly. And it's been catching on around the country. But parents, I mean, again, it kind of seems like common sense. Like parents should be able to have a say in what their children are being taught in school. They should be able to see the curriculum. They should be able to not be pushed out of private conversations. And a lot of this transgenderism is kind of, again, piggybacking off of that. Because when you have nurses in schools or even teachers that are pulling children aside and kind of what I call suggestive ideas, putting suggestive ideas into their head. Like, you know, have you ever thought about kissing a girl, another girl, or have you, you know, things like that. Well, then you might be, gay, you might be in the wrong body, that it kind of takes them down that path. I mean, there's so much wickedness that's going on in the schools. It is. So, and I know you're a strong Christian. I know you have, you know, you're aligned with me and in the fact that we're in a spiritual battle. It's really not even about a legislative battle. It's really just a spiritual battle at this point, but we have to take legislative measures. You know, that's still the rule of the land, the law of the land, you know, to take those measures to protect. So I commend you and honor you guys for all that you're doing in Independent Women's Network. Thank you for stepping up to do that for other moms.
And you know, what I'll say, to me, beyond the legislative work that's been done, where we've really seen change enacted, we can wait for governing bodies to change their rules. But where we've really seen action taking place is where women have had the courage to stand up and say the truth.
Yes.
Like, for example, just recently, there was a news report that just came out. A Redux, which is Genevieve Gluck's publication, reported on the governing body that oversees jiu-jitsu and their policy, which allowed trans-identified males to compete against women.
Oh, my goodness.
Supposedly, I know, in jiu-jitsu, I mean, that's not safe, right?
No, I mean, those men can really hurt those women.
Exactly. So she had reported on this. And according to their policy stated that the female fighters were to be notified if they were fighting against a male, but we had reports of several females who said that they were not notified and they did not know that they were fighting a male until after they got out of the ring.
Ugh.
And yes, I know.
Oh,
I know.
My gosh.
And so I know. And so Redux magazine, they did report on this. And in the most recent tournament, female fighters saw males registering.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not register. So there was very few females that registered for the last tournament. So in many categories, trans-identified males were the only ones in the category. And so this actually encouraged the governing body that governs jiu-jitsu to change their policy. And now trans-identified males have to compete in the men's category.
Oh, good.
So it You know, Redux magazine reported on this, but also the female fighters, the women, stood up and they said no.
Yeah.
And they changed their policy, which is, you know, and that happened very quickly. And the same thing happened. You all may have seen in Roanoke, Virginia at Roanoke College,
yes.
which is actually Carol Swain's alma mater.
Yep.
The entire women's swim team all stood together when a trans-identified male who previously competed on the men's swim team for a year before taking a year off and then asking to compete in the women's swim team, they all stood together in saying no. And, you know, their college actually made them handle this and have meetings one-on-one with this individual, which I can only imagine how that went.
Wow.
But at the end of the day, the college decided to go with the policy of the NCAA, which as of now actually follows whatever the governing body of that sports puts in place.
Uh-huh.
So for USA Swimming, males who have gone through puberty are unable to compete in the women's category.
Awesome.
So they went along with that category and the male is no longer competing. But if he would have, I mean, he would have taken records from these women who have worked their whole careers to achieve this level of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's great to see all of these women standing together.
I love that. That had to be a very proud moment for Dr. Swain. I know she's been visiting with those girls and I'm sure she's really proud of them for standing up. You know, a couple things come to my mind when you were talking just now that, you know, Riley, we talk about Riley a lot and her standing, taking a stand. Obviously she's taken so much incoming for that, you know, not just all the name calling, but her actual life threatened, things like this. So when you do take a stand, it's great to do it as a team like they did. I think that's amazing. I'd love to see more teams doing that. But when you take a stand, there's going to be consequences from that. And but I guess the point is there's consequences anyway. If you don't take a stand, then you risk losing, you know. So it's like pick your hard. One of the things I always say is pick your hard. You know, is it going to be harder to throw away your whole career of striving for that trophy, that win, you know, or even just to be able to get into those competitions? Or is it hard to take a stand and push this evil back and push this ridiculous narrative back and stand up for what's right? And so I think I just want women to contemplate that as they're listening. It's going to be hard either way. So pick your hard.
I agree. And it actually makes me think of just in my quiet time this morning, I was reading Joshua 1, where the Lord really encourages the Israelites to be strong and courageous. And also, I mean, a part of what he told the Israelites is to follow his law, be strong and courageous and follow my law. Well, part of following God's law is to tell the truth. And in doing that, if you're following God's law and you're telling the truth, you're not doing anything wrong. And that's part of being strong and courageous. And God with us is what enables that.
I want us to remember that evil, the only thing evil understands is a force greater than itself. We as human beings are no match for evil, but Jesus in us, Jesus living in us, his words are what carry that weight and that authority. And we kind of have to just get over the intimidation tactics from so many people that say, oh, are you a transphobe? Oh, you're a homophobe. Oh, what all these phobes or is, you know, the racist, the misogynist, whatever it is they're going to throw around, just go ahead and refuse to be offended by that. Offense is for amateurs. All right. We need to turn that offense in and just learn to be, what did your mom used to say when you were a little kid? You know, let that stuff roll right off like a duck, right? We've got to get past the intimidation tactic of them calling us a name and then that causing us to shrink back. We got to get over that. If they call you a name, they call you a name. What's the big deal? So what? Keep marching forward and speaking truth in love with grace, not citing any violence, nothing like that, but speaking that truth like Riley's doing. Speak it. Say it. Don't shrink back into corners. Remember who you are. When Jesus gave up his life on that cross and shed his blood for us, and that then tore the veil between us and God, we were welcomed into that family as believers on him, then now you are of royal blood. You're of a royal bloodline. Step in that, walk in that, confident in that. The enemy is such a liar and a deceiver, and he tries these stupid little tactics to throw us off our game, like calling us a name or shaming it, trying to shame us in front of groups, things like that. No, when you are on the side of truth, which is God's truth, that is the only truth. There's not your truth, my truth. There's one truth. And when you are tapped into that and using wisdom and asking the Holy Spirit to give you the words, then say those words out loud, say them confidently, unapologetically, be immovable. Don't be so rattled if somebody calls you a name. So what? Sticks and stones may break my bones, right? But words will never hurt me. We need to get over it. And we need to just walk in that truth. All right, let's get to our parting prayer. Father, I pray for every woman who's listening to this show today, that you would give that wisdom to her in her daily walk and in her daily conversations. And that, Lord, as her children are competing, or as she knows people who are, or as she's in the workplace, wherever she might be where these conversations are coming up, I pray that you would give her the courage to speak that truth unapologetically, Lord, and in a way that attracts people to her point of view. So, Lord, I just ask that you give us the courage to be able to speak up and to speak out for you, Lord. We thank you, we love you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, girls, thanks so much for tuning in today. Happy Halloween, although I don't typically celebrate it, but I know there's a lot of fun things going on out there at churches, things like that for kids today. So have fun, be safe, and I will see you tomorrow. Lady up. Lady up around this house. Lady up around this house.